From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
This is a live look inside Everbank Field, preparations for tomorrow night's Bud Light Draft Party, as the Jaguars will welcome in thousands of fans on the field at Everbank to watch the draft on the big boards. Plenty of presentations. Over 30 restaurants will be on hand tomorrow night. And welcome in. This is the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier. Jaguars.com Live presented by Everbank. We'll also go up to Chicago here in a moment. Brian Sexton is standing by live with a report from Grant Park the day before the draft. The draft city is underway in the big park in downtown Chicago. Plenty to get to, of course, today. Jags this week. NFL draft is here. The day before, Sexton in Chicago, of course, and Matt Miller will join us from Bleacher Report, one of the great NFL draft analysts in the business. You can get on the show, as always, at Jaguars, at J.P. Shadrick, at John Osier, at Jags Voice, at John Osier is with us now. It's almost here, finally, John.
Well, what a day, huh? We're live in the field, we're live in Chicago, we're live in here. I feel alive. It's draft time.
Or just live.
Or just live.
One of the two.
No A needed.
Just wait till tomorrow night, because we'll be live here on Jaguars.com with the draft party at 7 o'clock tomorrow night from inside. So that should be a fun event tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's always fun to cover the draft in the way we do here on Jaguars.com. We've added more and more each year. So draft, always exciting, always hectic. I think tomorrow night's going to be a lot of fun.
Hectic and all that, but it's kind of relaxed on the football side today. Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell led the entire coaching and personnel staffs over to the baseball grounds of Jacksonville to watch the Suns and the Birmingham Barons today. Gus and Dave threw out the ceremonial first pitch. You think they're ready for tomorrow?
How did that go? You were there. How are the arms?
Bradley threw about a 70-mile-an-hour strike,
Dave,
right down
so
the middle. Caldwell, not so much.
He's preparing for the draft. Been busy.
Well, it's a strike if they swing at it.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
You fooled.
That's right.
That's what it was.
And from their perspective, you know, you might say, well, what's Dave and Gus doing? For Dave Caldwell, to use a baseball cliche, the hay is in the barn.
That's right.
Is that a baseball cliche?
I don't know. It's just a cliche.
Well, you're a baseball guy.
In general. I've used it a lot.
You're ready at this point. There might be some calls, but there's no last-minute planning going on at this point. Any trade scenarios, anything like that. I'm not saying the calls have been made, but he knows what he would take for what. He knows the scenarios are going to break down. There's no reason for him to be in there watching film at this point of, you know, Leonard Fowler or Dante Williams or whoever those guys are, because if he's still in there, then he's probably mixing those names up too, and that's not what you want.
That's for sure. I remember last year, the whole crew, the Suns were out of town. They hit batting practice on the field over there because they knew who they wanted at number three. They didn't tell anybody.
And that's the idea, is that you are more than ready at this point. And some of the scouts, some of the road guys are even looking ahead to next year. There's no reason for them to be going back over things that they're already prepared for right now. So as they say, the hay is in the barn, and they're ready to go.
Hay is in the barn, and somebody else is ready to go in Chicago as well. Senior correspondent Brian Sexton is at Grant Park in Chicago, Illinois. It's a nice day in Chicago, Brian, it looks like.
Yeah, until the sun went away, it felt like 65 degrees with a light breeze. We're right near Lake Michigan. The sun's disappeared, but it's still, I mean, about as nice as you could get.
Let's start off with some of the biggest news of the week. Shane Ray spoke to the media for the first time since being pulled over with marijuana in the car. And some really breaking news about Lyle Collins, the LSU offensive lineman today.
Yeah, let's start with that. Lyle Collins was on the field this morning for the Play 60 event. We all had heard about the issue with a former girlfriend who had been shot, murdered, who was pregnant. They were wondering whether it's his child or not. He had agreed to submit to paternity tests early next week. Well, he put all of that on the sideline and then left after the event. He stayed for most of it, and then he was up and on his way back to Baton Rouge. Obviously, so late in the game, there's very little chance of him to get on the phone and talk to everybody, but the cooperation that he can obviously provide now might help his draft status. We've heard nothing that would indicate that he's a suspect in this, nor had anyone that we talked to this morning. But obviously, it is a very critical time for these guys when it comes to their off-the-field endeavors, and they want to make sure they've got it all covered. With Shane Ray, I wondered whether or not he would speak to the media, and I had tweeted yesterday that I was very impressed with Shane when he came to Jacksonville. Stand-up guy, one of the few that looked you in the eye and gave you everything you were looking for. So when I heard the news that he had been pulled over last week, I went, uh-oh. Now, he made a point to tell everyone involved that he was not arrested. He was simply pulled over. And over, he was vehement on this point now. It was a mistake. Everybody makes mistakes. Obviously, he had his message that he was trying to get out there. But I asked him, and folks can look and see this in ITJ, will you be able to enjoy this? And he said, yes, he had earned the right to be here. I'll say this, very stand-up of him to come out, and he stood there. There were different waves of people that came from different players because all the prospects who took part in Play 60 were just kind of a walk around and get who you wanted. And so he had to answer the same question over and over and over, and he did it. I don't know whether he helped himself or not. I hearken back to 1995, and I know you remember, John, when Warren Sapp had the positive test and it came out late and everyone wondered where will he fall. Well, he slid to 11. It turned out to be a Hall of Fame caliber player. So I'm just curious how far this takes Shane Ray down the road. I talked to Peter Schrager. I know that will be up on the site later. He said his only issue was the timing of it. Timing seems to be the story here in Chicago with respect to a couple of the draft choices.
Yeah, I think that's really what personnel people get concerned about with that as much as anything. You know, I don't know that there is a tremendous concern among a lot of NFL people if a player has tested positive in the past for marijuana. It's out there. It's something that these guys, you know, I'm not saying every player does it. That's not what I'm saying. But it's out there, and it's in a lot of guys' background. But it seems, Brian, that the concern NFL officials have is sort of the timing and the decision-making of a Randy Gregory or a Shane Ray when it happens at moments where, you know, they know that they're on the clock, so to speak. And, you know, and I don't know if Shane addressed that aspect of it at all.
Well, in roundabout ways, he kept on his message, which was a mistake. I asked him, can you look a coach or a general manager in the eye and say, it will only be one mistake, or is this an issue that you're going to have to deal with? He said, it will only be one mistake, and he wouldn't get off of his message very much. What's interesting in talking to a lot of different media and personnel types who are around, former personnel types, I should say, because most of the personnel men are hunkered down like Dave Caldwell is, getting things done here at the last minute. But the changing dynamic of marijuana, you know, because it's legal in a couple of states now, and it might be legal in a couple of more by the time we get gathered to do this draft process again in 2016, you know, you've got to factor in where that fits, and it's a changing landscape, but the timing and the decision-making is what they're going to go back and look at again and again and again. So that's everything that we've got on those two guys at this point. I have to say, you can see behind me just how impressive the draft setup is. This looks like a Super Bowl NFL experience type of event. These tents, for lack of a better word, it's not a Quonset hut, they're huge. There's two of them. Selection Square, where the teams will actually be set up, NFL Network and ESPN, all right out here in Grant Park, in the middle of it all. And you walk around downtown Chicago, there's signs. You know, the department stores all have NFL-themed products and endorsements and things like that in their windows. It just... It's never going back to being small again. It's not that it was small before, but this just opened the box now, Pandora's box, if you will. And in talking to people, L.A., Dallas, Miami, I mean, the sky's the limit. The event hits a new level this year. And so I caught up with a guy primarily to talk football, but Sirius NFL Radio's Pat Kerwin, CBSSports.com as well, and a longtime personnel man. He's been around this draft for more than 40 years, and he likes what he sees from Chicago. You know, from your perspective, Pat, having covered 40 drafts, what does Chicago mean for the NFL draft as an event?
Well, they finally stuck their toe in the water and see what the world's like outside of it. Tremendous amount of interest, and the facility is going to be hard to match ever again in New York with all these fields and the ability to lay out all this stuff. I remember the first draft I ever did. It was for the Tampa Bay Bucks. There were about 50 fans on a balcony cheering for the Giants and Jets, and that was it. And we were down in a pit. And we did every round, every pick straight through without a break. So making it a three-day event, having all this, sharing it with the community, I don't know, L.A.'s next probably.
I thought the same thing, that or Dallas for Jerry.
Exactly.
The Jaguars are picking at three. Mm-hmm. Obviously, pass rusher is a distinct need. So, too, is game-breaking wide receiver for Blake Bortles. What has more value in this game today?
Well, there's value at both places. I'd say this. There's depth at the receiver group. so they could hold their breath and get a pretty good receiver second time around. In regards to getting the pass rusher, if I was Jacksonville, I'd be talking to Tampa Bay and jump ahead and move Tampa Bay down and go get Leonard Williams. If they wait, I don't think they're going to get him. So to me, Leonard would be a priority. I kind of know that defense, and that guy would be a very big piece to what they need to do.
And yet so many people look at that Leo position and think that's where the pass rush comes from. Are you a best available player guy? And if you are, that makes Leonard Williams that guy, doesn't it?
Well, Leonard Williams, to me, is the most versatile guy in this draft because he can play three technique, five technique. He can play a wide nine. He can play zero on a pass down. So he gives you everything you'd want in a defensive lineman, and you could scheme around him. He's like Bruce Smith was. When we played Buffalo, Bruce Smith would line up on your weakest guy because he was athletic enough to do all those things. That's what Leonard is. You have one weak lineman, you're going to find big guy over him.
How about the receivers that are sitting there? So many people think that Blake Bortles needs that game breaker. Is that guy not available past those two?
No, I think he is available. And ironically, the guy that if I was going to move back into the bottom of the first round, I'd try to get Perriman, his old teammate there. Talked to George O'Leary about it, and they had a really good chemistry. Guy comes out and runs 4.2. So I would say if you could get to him, great. If you can't, Rashard Greene, who I like in the second round, coming out of Florida State, real smooth, polished receiver. They'll find a good receiver.
A lot of attention on this Leo position, and there's so many names, whether it's Vic Beasley or Bud Dupree. Are all of them close in terms of their grade in your area?
Thanks for asking. I talked to a GM yesterday. He said, what position scares you the most in this draft? And he said pass rushers. They're getting a lot of notoriety, but his position was they're all one-trick ponies. They're all speed edge rushers, except for Bud Dupree. Bud Dupree is big enough to bull rush, and I've seen him convert speed to power. And I don't even care if they want to call it the Leo or not. And I worked with Pete Carroll for years, and we're always looking for Leos. Sooner or later, you got to have some power to your game. If you don't, these left tackles set on you, and you're not very effective.
Do you have a perspective on what the Jaguars did in free agency, adding Julius Thomas and Jeremy Parnell? Do you think they significantly improved their chances?
Well, they significantly improved the chances of giving Bortles a chance, putting the tight end. Tight end's the quarterback's best friend, so I do like what they did there. I have a lot of faith in your head coach, and I know he has a vision for how to do this, and this is a very important draft. They're far from done with the work.
So Leonard Williams, the consensus, maybe, best player in this draft. Everyone I talk to up here says he is. Will he be there for the Jaguars? Well, Pat Kerwin doesn't think so. I do. I've said all along, I really believe that you're going to see the two quarterbacks go 1 and 2. There are reports today that the Eagles and the Browns and the Chargers are all making their last-minute pitches to try to get up there and make something happen to grab Mariota. Who knows? We're going to find out here. And I know you guys will talk with Matt Miller a little bit later in the show, and he'll probably give you a better indication of where those talks are at. It is going to be a big day here tomorrow. I mean, I can't underscore it, highlight it, stress it enough. NFL Draft Town owns downtown Chicago, and if the weather is good and the reports are that it's going to be, this place is going to be packed. There'll be an electricity, and of course, we'll be live here with all the coverage that you need right here on Jaguars.com.
Brian, one final question for you. You know, the Draft Town is at Grant Park. How far away is Auditorium Theater and the actual draft from where you are right now?
Right across the street. The draft is going to take place not in the structure right behind me, but if you can see through it, there's another structure, and I don't know that you can because it's a ways away, but right behind that is Michigan Avenue, and right across Michigan Avenue is the entrance to the Roosevelt University Theater, which is where the commissioner will be. But the teams are going to be out here. It's all very compact. It's very well thought out. And talking with some of the folks today who have been a part of putting all of this together, they've been working on it for about a year. It looks like 2 years worth of preparation. It is so seamless. It's the NFL at its best.
Brian, well done. We'll look forward to hearing some more reporting tomorrow night before the first round of the draft. Thanks, Brian.
You got it, guys. Have a good rest of your show.
Brian Sexton from Chicago. Of course, the NFL draft party. Plan on attending tomorrow night. You must register for a free ticket at jaguars.com/draft party. 6 to 10 p.m. Thursday night. Jags 365 members get in starting at 5 o'clock. So register now. jaguars.com/draft party. You had a live look earlier inside Everbank Field for the preparations there. Sounds like quite a scene in Chicago.
Well, it sounds like Brian and Pat Kerwin may have been fighting over the getting to take Leonard Williams to the prom up there, right?
Maybe so. They might have.
No, and again, I thought what was interesting about that segment, and you know, we'll get into some of what's going on here. When Pat Curran was talking about where you can play Leonard Williams, that sometimes doesn't get addressed enough, the fact that this guy can play all over the defensive line, and he is not just somebody that you go and plug in at the strong side defensive end spot, and he becomes an anchor over there and a run defender. When you listen to the people who really like Leonard Williams, they talk about it the way Pat did, which is you can put him all over the place, and he's going to make everybody around him better, and he's going to make the offense worry about that spot. When Pat was talking about it just now, he was talking about this guy as a guy who fits in so well to the Gus Bradley system that he makes a lot around him tick. You know, again, I don't know how tied in he is in terms of what Dave Caldwell is thinking. But when you listen to Dave Caldwell, he talks about it the same way. Wouldn't be as much of a reach of need to take Leonard Williams as perhaps some of the reports and some of the analysis out there believes it would be.
Jaguars three packs on sale now, including the best prices and locations at Everbank Field. Choose any three games this season and select from five different locations. Prices start at $99. Visit jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000 for more information. Let's go to the phone lines now and welcome in our next guest today, our good friend Matt Miller from Bleacher Report, NFL draft lead analyst for Bleacher Report, and a busy man these days. Matt, how are you?
Doing well. Good to talk to you.
It's almost here, finally, right?
Finally, yes. I think I know the players are anxious. I know the teams are anxious, but I'm pretty anxious too. Just to, you know, not just for the draft to be here and be done with, but so we can see, you know, where these players are getting drafted, how teams view their needs and how they view the value. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see how it all shakes out.
What do you make of the rumors today that the Browns offered their two first-round picks to the Titans? You know, one team's claiming it, others not. What do you make of that the day before the draft?
I think there's probably some validity to that. I do think that 12 and 19 is not enough to get to pick number two. So it might be one of those things where the Titans don't want that out there because it's not enough for that to happen. So they don't want people to think that's what the asking price is. I think the Browns probably want it out there so their fans know that, hey, we're trying to make something happen. We're trying to do something to get Marcus Mariota. But I would imagine that those conversations continue over the next 24 hours, and maybe something gets done. But I think the Browns are going to have to up the ante a little bit.
Matt, John Osier here. Thanks for joining us again. I'm curious. I know you make a lot of calls as this thing approaches, and I'm sure your calls pick up pace as it approaches. So you hear a lot of things that you're not able to report all the time, and you hear a lot of rumor, speculation. How much of the stuff that you're starting to hear this week as quote-unquote draft boards change and stories develop, did you kind of feel like it was coming, and how much sort of surprises you out of the blue?
Not much surprises you, really. I would say the stuff that's surprising, you know, like I reported yesterday, Trey Jackson from Florida State failed multiple team physicals, so he is off a lot of draft boards. That is more surprising to me than, you know, a team moving Shane Ray down. That's kind of on the expected side of things. So there, I think when it comes down to things that really surprise you, it's kind of the stuff that we in the media can't really have the access to. You know, it's injury stuff because I can't be in the room when these guys get physical. So there's a lot that I don't know as far as past injuries that maybe didn't heal right and are still an issue, and the interview process. You know, I know the guys at NFL.com had a long article today about Randy Gregory and, you know, maybe teams not feeling like he has the mental capacity to handle the NFL. That's something that's really hard for me to pick up, you know, over a few months of, you know, I've talked to Randy Gregory a handful of times. I never had that impression, but if teams do, that is kind of surprising to me. So that's something that maybe comes out of nowhere that catches you off guard.
I got a big, long list here for you, Matt, so get ready. No, I'm just kidding. I saw where you wrote this week about Beckham, Doyle Green Beckham, and the fact that some owners are just saying, no, you cannot draft this guy. What's the extent of that? And just comment on that story, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, I can elaborate a little bit. I'll tell you what I can't. That I know there are multiple teams, so I would say 3 to 4 teams where the general manager and head coach want Doriel Green back in the first round. But when you're going to draft a player like that, you have to check in with the owner first. And the owners in these situations have flat out said no. Now, I will say, I know in one of those cities, the front office is trying really hard to talk the owner into it. So I think there's still a good chance that Doriel Green Beckham goes in the first round, but that's going to be an on-the-clock discussion. You know, like last year, you guys fooled everyone. The Jaguars for months. They had smoke screens up about Blake Bortles for months. No one expected that. That was something that was planned well in advance of the draft. If DGB is drafted in the first round, I think that's something that the owner is going to sign off on in the moment. So it could happen. It wouldn't be a surprise, but I think there will be a lot of heated discussions about him over the next day.
And it's one of those where the GM side keeps on coming back to, but he's really, really good.
Exactly, yeah. That's the one where when you're on the clock, if he's still on the board, you're asking for his highlight reel to play in the draft
right.
room. So the owner has to sit there and watch and you know, maybe think about it again. But he's an interesting player because on-field is really promising and the off-field is a little scary.
And it sounds from reading you, Matt, like, you know, Leonard Williams is a topic here because, you know, there's a good chance that he's at least on the Jaguars' radar. But you seem to think that he might slip, you know, maybe to 5 if some of your receiver scenarios play out.
Yeah, he could. I think 5 is as far as he would slip because he is incredibly talented. But I think, well, I think you guys are the wild card, to be honest, because if Dave Caldwell decides to go with Dante Fowler, who's probably the most popular pick, or Amari Cooper at pick number 3, then Oakland, they have a really tough decision to make. Do you go with the local kid who grew up a Raiders fan and fills a need at that 3 technique position, or do you go get Derek Carr, a receiver, like an Amari Cooper or a Kevin White? So that's going to be a tough decision. I think Leonard Williams is an extremely talented player. As far as draft grades go, he was tied for my highest grade this year with Winston, with Dante Fowler. So I would have no problem taking him at 3 or 4 or 5. But there is a chance that he slips a little bit if teams fall in love with some of the receivers that we see this year.
Matt Miller is with us, Bleacher Report, Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. You know, we're talking all these trade possibilities with the Titans at 2. Now, if it gets to the Jaguars at 3, and a quarterback still on the board, well, I'll ask you 2 different ways. Does it have to be a quarterback to trade to have offers? And how far back is still comfortable for Jacksonville?
I don't think it has to be a quarterback. You know, I'll tell you this. I've heard that the Browns like Marcus Mariota, but they also like Leonard Williams. So let's say the Titans are just like, you know what, we're going to draft Mariota. We need a quarterback. Well, Leonard Williams is on the board at 3. The Browns could be calling Jacksonville to say, hey, let us come up and get this guy to rebuild our defensive line around. And I think that if you're Jacksonville, that's far back to go, to pick 12, even with the extra picks. Comfortably, you're probably not going to want to slide down too far if the goal is to get someone like a Dante Fowler, because you have to worry about Washington at 5. You have to worry about the Jets at 6, the Bears at 7, the Falcons at 8. So there are a lot of teams who would look at him. If the goal is to get Todd Gurley, maybe you can slide back a little farther. Maybe we're talking picks, you know, 11 or 12, just trying to stay in front of the Miami Dolphins at 14. So my thing with trading and the way that GMs have explained it to me is, if you're going to trade from 3 to 10, you have to have 8 guys on your board that you like. You have to be willing to sacrifice, you know, hey, we might not get this guy or this guy, but we still really like him and we know he'll be available. So trading back very far is always pretty dangerous.
Very quickly, in 10 words or less, how much better is Gurley than the rest of the field at the running back position?
A lot. There's one word for you. He is a lot better. I think his ceiling is, he could be the best running back in the NFL, and I don't see that from anyone else. So he's very special.
Matt Miller, Bleacher Report. We'll look forward to your coverage. You guys are live after every single pick, right?
Yeah, live after every pick on your TeamStream app. So we will be – it's going to be insane, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
We'll look forward to it.
Matt, fantastic stuff. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, fellas.
Matt Miller, BleacherReport.com, joining us, the NFL draft analyst. Join us Thursday for live coverage from the Jaguars draft party. Of course, a 7 o'clock pre-show. And we'll be live after every single pick for the Jaguars, not every single pick in the draft like Bleacher Report, but certainly for the Jags, with immediate analysis, press conferences, and more. Special guests also all 3 days. Starts Thursday at 7. We'll be live on Jaguars.com and inside the stadium as well.
No this or that today. I kind of miss it.
You probably
I'll take this as a win. Yeah. How about that?
Another one.
All right. Yeah, that's right. I'm rolling.
You are on a roll. John, this is going to be fun the next few days. I can't wait.
Yeah, it is. It always is. And you know, we go live after every pick. So if a Bleacher Report is insane, we're temporary insanity, right?
We
are.
Yeah, so yes. We'll just
go, and, but it's fun because we get a chance to come on right after the pick. And before I go right, you and I get a chance to talk about the pick. And it's something that we've done differently on the website the last couple of years. And it just adds to sort of the chaos of the weekend for us, which is a lot of fun.
It absolutely is. So hope you'll join us at Everbank Field tomorrow. 6 o'clock, the gates open. Jaguars.com/draft party to register for a free ticket if you can't make it out. We'll be live on Jaguars.com at 7 o'clock.
Leonard Williams. He's the pick.
Well, that's your guy, huh?
That's my guy.
What about tomorrow? We might change tomorrow.
Tomorrow's a new day.
I'll ask you again tomorrow night. For everyone involved, this is JP Shatterick. Thank you for watching. We'll see you tomorrow. This is Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.